In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. I was having lunch with friends the other day when one of them observed, "Life changes in a day, literally in one day." I once again experienced the truth of this phenomenon in a minor way on Friday. That is when I learned our preacher for today, Reverend Josh, joined the great throng of the summer COVID-inflicted. One day he was busy contemplating his sermon. The next day, I was busy contemplating his sermon. I think I got the much better end of the stick of life's daily changes. But please do keep Reverend Josh, Reverend Carrie, who also is suffering, and our Ellie in your prayers. Our gospel story today is steeped in the unexpected. One day, the 12 are untested disciples who were sent out two by two. Take no bag, no bread, no money, only one tunic. Today, they return triumphant, having taught and preached, having healed the sick and the injured, and having successfully cast out demons, no less. They did this all without Jesus even being around in the usual way of human perception. In the process, they were transformed into the apostles, the sent. One of the things that caught my attention in this text is that the newly minted apostles were no longer clueless and no longer powerless, but work hand in hand with Jesus in his healing ministry. There were so many pressing in on them that they had no leisure even to eat. Throngs of folks are following them around, even running ahead and cutting them off at the pass, pressing in on them, pursuing them all. Everywhere they go, there are mats laid out with the crippled, the sick, and the dying. Families push through the crowd with the loved one who has no longer himself, lost to mental illness. A mother cries out for Jesus to heal her malnourished baby. Peter stoops down to lay his hands on a fevering child. The crowd pushes and shoves just to touch the fringe of Jesus' cloak. Word has spread all over the towns and villages and Galilean countryside of Jesus' healing power. It would be completely understandable if Jesus and we, his apostles, experience compassion fatigue in the face of so much need. And frankly, it is quite understandable if we, Jesus' faithful disciples, really don't want to be in the midst of so much suffering. After all, we are conditioned from a very young age to avoid it at all costs. And we certainly don't want anyone, even God, to know the weight of our shadow selves, our own suffering we all carry in our souls just by the condition of being human. Anxiety, a sneaky feeling of not really being good enough, glossed over depression, runaway personality disorder, fear, pride that blocks us from receiving, and of course, our deep need for control of our lives. Instead of telling everyone to go away and give them some space, Jesus has compassion for each and every one of them. He knows their vulnerability and their brokenness. He knows their need for physical healing and the wounds upon the soul that need tending. And he knows ours, even when we try to hide. Jesus' compassion is not sympathy or empathy. In German, the word is Mitleid. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. Feel free to correct. It's Mitleid, and it means suffering with. One great quote states that the precondition for compassion is unconditional solidarity with the ones for whom you feel it. It is a gut-wrenching standing alongside. It is a state of being that gives Jesus the knowledge and the energy to see each individual as loved by God, really and truly precious and worthy and deeply loved. As apostles of Jesus, we have the capacity to cultivate real compassion for others and for ourselves. Unlike the phenomenon of life changing in just one day, cultivating the compassion of Jesus takes time, just as recovering from compassion fatigue takes time. We clearly see it here. Jesus immediately recognizes the disciples' need for renewal and quiet. They may not get it for a while, but it is his very first recommendation. They need time to reflect on all that has happened to them. They need to turn off the noise. He bids them to come away to a deserted place all by themselves and rest a while. Even Jesus retreated daily. Can we really expect to hear the voice of the Holy One any other way? Or further to the point, do we really desire to hear what God might be saying to us? What is God asking of us at this moment? The answer will be different for each of us, but I suspect that for all of us, the world has become increasingly more frenetic and sometimes even scary. Jesus bids us to come away from our cell phones, away from our computers and TV, from YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, and dare I even say, from TikTok. Away from the constant news feeds and commentary of every type and stripe under the sun. Come away, bids Jesus, and into the silence where God lives, where we can open our hearts to the source of our being, where we can cultivate the compassion of Christ, both for ourselves and for others. When we can ask openly that we are struggling with loving our neighbor, with standing in unconditional solidarity with the poor, the immigrant, the oppressed. Where we can offer to God those broken and hidden pieces that keep us from being fully human, those places where we need spiritual, emotional, and physical healing, even those painful, dark places we would rather ignore and pretend don't exist. Our job as disciples is simply to offer it all to God, to reach out and touch the fringe of his healing. I have a dear friend who at the age of 40 was diagnosed with a neuromuscular disease. One day she is carrying heavy, heavy trays laden with fancy food and running on the beach, and the next day she can't lift her coffee cup. Life can change in just one day, and she was not happy about it. Her doctor, full of compassion, looked straight into her eyes and said, "You are going to have to learn to fight without the anger." life-changing words. After all her prayers, her disease did not go away, but she has lived a long, full, and active life. Even better, deep anger from a lifetime of neglect, abuse, and loss has, day by day, been lifted and healed. We never know how healing will occur for ourselves or for another. That is God's purview alone. But don't be too surprised if it comes in an unexpected form that we did not ask for or even imagine. One that has a lot to do with the soul. One that ushers in redemption, release, and peace. Glad tidings indeed. Amen.